BBC News with Jonathan Izard. 20 tourists were among the victims of an attack by gunmen on one of Tunisia's most prestigious museums. The assailants shot dead visitors from South Africa, Poland, Italy and Spain as they were getting off a bus outside the Bardo Museum in the capital Tunis, which stands next to the country's parliament. At least 22 people died in the attack and more than 40 others were wounded. 2 hours later, Tunisian security forces shot the gunmen dead. Navina Couture reports from Tunis.
The last group of tourists were taken away on a bus a while ago, waving at bystanders and security forces. But many Tunisians here are reluctant to leave. "I am sad and shocked," one of them told me. The attackers managed to strike both at the political as well as the economic heart of the country. The site of the attack, the Bardo Museum, is to Tunis what the Louvre is to Paris. It's in walking distance to Parliament, where terrified politicians were in lockdown when the attack began. This is the first attack on civilians in more than a decade, and as an act of defiance and solidarity with the victims, politicians have been gathering here this evening.
As the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu prepares to build a new governing coalition, the US has criticised the tactics that won him the election. Kim Khatas reports from Washington.
The White House made very clear it was deeply concerned about the divisive rhetoric used during the campaign directed at Israeli Arabs. The administration also said it would re-evaluate its position on the best way to achieve a two-state solution. The Israeli leader had said there would be no Palestinian state if he were re-elected. And in a scathing editorial, the New York Times said Mr. Netanyahu had laid bare his duplicity and confirmed suspicions he'd never had any intention to negotiate a peace deal.
The US Federal Reserve has signalled it's now prepared to raise interest rates. Following a two-day meeting, the central bank's policy-setting committee ended its pledge to be patient before reversing the monetary policy it's pursued since the financial crisis of 2008. But the chairperson of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, said the rise may not be immediate.
"Today's modification of our guidance should not be interpreted to mean that we have decided on the timing of that increase. In other words, just because we remove the word patient from the statement doesn't mean we're going to be impatient. Our policy is likely to remain highly accommodative to support continued progress toward our objectives of maximum employment and 2% inflation."
The Pentagon says it's killed the leader of the Somali militant group Al-Shabaab in a drone strike. U.S. defense officials said Adnan Garar, the man accused of planning the attack on a shopping mall in Kenya 2 years ago, was hit by a drone equipped with Hellfire missiles in southern Somalia last Friday. The U.S. has been assessing the operation before confirming that Garar was the target. World News from the BBC. A Pakistani government minister has announced a last-minute stay of execution in the case of a man who, rights groups say, was a child when he was convicted of involuntary manslaughter. Shafkat Hussain was due to be executed on Thursday. A British-based children's charity, Child Rights International Network, says he was 14 years old at the time of the crime and insists he was tortured into confessing. The leaders of the United States and Germany have said they'll maintain sanctions imposed on Russia for its support of separatists in Ukraine. President Obama and Chancellor Angela Merkel said the sanctions were necessary to bring a lasting resolution to the crisis. The commitment comes as President Putin acknowledged the damage caused by the sanctions. The Brazilian government has announced a raft of anti-corruption measures following Sunday's mass protests across the country demanding the impeachment of President Dilma Rousseff. Speaking in Brasilia, Ms. Rousseff called for a national pact against corruption. Wira Davis reports from Rio.
Earlier this week, the president described corruption as nothing new in Brazil, but promised to do something about it. Today we heard some of the detail. Declaring that she'd always fought against corruption, she called for a national pact to tackle it and promised laws to criminalise unregulated funding of political campaigns and money laundering in elections. But with several senior politicians and industry executives implicated in the Petrobras inquiry, it's questionable if the proposals go far enough.
The world's highest paid model, Gisele Bündchen, has announced that she's to retire from the catwalk. The Brazilian supermodel's spokeswoman and sister, Patricia, said Gisele wants to focus on her family and special projects. The 34-year-old model has been the face of French fashion house Chanel and has worked with designers Valentino, Versace and Louis Vuitton. Reports say she earned an estimated $47 million last year. She'll make her final catwalk bow at Sao Paulo's Fashion Week in April. And those are the latest stories from the BBC World Service Newsroom.